Now, from the time I remember, about the age of five, half five, I was in the first class of the elementary school, and I used to see British soldiers wearing red hats, and I didn't know what that was. They used to stop near our school, and there was a big fountain there, tap for water. And I remember I used to go with my schoolmates and ask them biscuits. And because we didn't know any English, we'd say, biscuits, biscuits. So, and when we went back home, I remember my parents telling me, don't talk with these people because these people may harm you. And it was the time when EOCA started. It must be 1954, 53, 54, and the struggle started at that time, and our parents didn't like us to start talking with soldiers, foreigners, and things like that. Growing up, we heard that this company of people, these young men, were struggling to send away the British from Cyprus, and once there was one among them, of those young men, can I call them soldiers? I don't know. He used to stay in the mountains, and because my father had sheep, and he used to take them out in the fields, often late out with the sheep, and one night about 8 o'clock, it was already dark, somebody came near my father, armed, he was shining, and my father didn't know who it was. And he, I told him, don't be afraid, I am a member of EOCA, I just want some bread, because you know they couldn't come into the villages. So they became friends. Every night, every morning, my mother used to put in my father's bag bread, cheese, whatever they had. And when he came back at home, everything disappeared. My mother told him, but every day I put a loaf of bread for you and a halloumi and olives. How much do you eat? Because that EOCA member told my father, you will never say about me, speak about me to your wife.
He was Greek.
Yes, yes, of course. They were all Greeks. So then growing up, we understood why these young men were struggling. And in 1958-59, I graduated from elementary school, and I went to all the sisters. And then again, in Nicosia it was still worse, because in our villages, no sirens, nothing. So every time the siren was ringing, we had to stop lessons, because somebody was killed or somebody was captured. So we had a teacher, she was a nun. Every time we didn't feel like having a lesson, we used to start imitating the you know, the noise of the siren. Woo! Sister, there is something wrong out. Let's go. Oh, okay, okay, go on. Poor thing, she's a nice person. And at that time, I was supposed to go to the English school instead of the sister school. But my mother was afraid, because that school, the directors and the teachers, most of them English, British. So she was afraid that the school was going to close up, or maybe there would be an explosion, you know, things like that. So she preferred to send us. It started in 1958, no, before, 54, 55, till 1960, when the government of Cyprus was established. When the British was here, we felt security. We are not afraid to go out during the night, or young girls, for example, nobody was supposed to tell us whatsoever. we were not afraid. But there was misery, poverty, because all the wealth of Cyprus used to go to England. You see, that's why people, we didn't even have electricity, that I forgot to tell you. In the villages, no electricity, no water in the houses, nothing. After 60, it was in 66, we had electricity.
1966.
Water, okay, it was before. So that's why people struggled to have freedom.
But you felt afterwards that it was not safe to go?
I mean, no, it's not that, I mean, as the years passed, we understood that at least the only good thing of that time, it was security. But as today, no. Before, we used to go out, leave the door open, nobody could come in, we could walk during night time, no problem. But now it's different. I remember my brother used to study in Greece at that time, and it was summertime. We didn't even know what the coup, the word coup was. I remember that day of the coup, it was holidays, and I was supposed to come to Nicosia to have to go to the dressmaker, to have a dress made, and I was going to the bus station to take a bus. And as I was passing, I met a cousin of mine. Where are you going? He told me, there is a coup. And I said, I'm going to Nicosia. Going to Nicosia? Go back home. So I came back home, and at night, my husband did not come home because the roads were closed. All the people stayed in their offices. My sister passed the night in a bus, all the night in a bus with a because the army were against Makarios at that time. So once they announced that he was killed, well, we were desperate. So my husband sent me a message, I don't remember how, because we didn't have the telephone at home at that time, that I'm going to stay in my office because nobody is allowed to move about, so don't worry. But I remember my mother crying that my sister was lost because she went into a bus to come to the village and they didn't let the bus go. So all the passengers stayed in the bus till the next day. So a few days passed and on a Saturday morning we heard aeroplanes. I used to live in my new house because I was just, I had just a baby. And the house was not near with the other hand, it was a bit, alone. And I remember seeing the aeroplanes passing over my house and some soldiers with their bags, with their arms, walking and running. And my brother used to stay in my house. And he told me, take the baby and go downstairs because the house was like a first floor. So go to the underground because there is war. The Turks have invaded Cyprus. And we didn't know what was that about. I remember I left Joseph. I left him with my aunt because I had an aunt who was to live with me. She wasn't married and she used to take care of Joseph. And my brother and husband shouted, take your baby, Antoinette, take your baby. I can't. Well, I thought that I was melting down. So at a certain moment when the aeroplane stopped, we took the baby and we went to my mother's house. It was, within other houses. It wasn't so much exposé, in the same language. Because opposite, there was a Turkish village. So we stayed there for a whole month. We wouldn't dare go to our house. We didn't leave during the first invasion. We stayed in August. The first invasion was on the 20th of July, and the second one on the 15th of August. So there were discussions with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from Greece, from Cyprus, from Turkey, discussing whether they were going to stop or not. They did not succeed, so they started all over again. My husband heard that in the coffee shop with other two. He came home and told me, no, that there is no solution, we have to leave. And the aeroplane started bombarding all the time. So early in the morning at 5 o'clock, we had a triumph at time. I took Joseph, my sister, no, you didn't come with us. My young brother, Stavros. Somebody else, who was it? Ah, my older brother. We left early in the morning and we went to Kakopetria. And I remember from days before, I had arranged two suitcases in case to take them with me. My brother and my husband were making fun of me. They said, oh, you silly Billy, you put all the things in your in the suitcases. And you think that we are not going to leave our village. So the day we decided to leave, it was my last visit at my house. Early in the morning, my husband told me, let's go to our house and see if you want to take something for the baby. And I remember going, I opened the door, I looked all over, and my husband told me, take some sheets, a blanket, some. I said, no, I'm not going to make a mess of my house. I have enough, I'll take only that one. And I remember taking all the keys from the cupboards, from the doors, and I took them with me. I thought that I was going to go back. So getting out of the door, my husband tells me, just have a sight again from our house because you won't see it. If we leave, we won't go, we won't come back. I said, you're crazy. We are just going for the day, we are coming back. But because he had been a soldier, he knew. We had no idea. So I said, you are crazy, not coming back to my house. Okay, we'll go for the day and we'll come back. So we left. Arriving in Kakopetria, we didn't know where to go. And Joseph had a diary. And I was running in the streets of Kakopetria. Where shall I change the baby? Where? I remember that I had a student from St. Joseph whose father had a hotel, a LAS. So I told my sister and husband, let's go to that hotel. I think the girl will remember. We went there, really. She told me, I have no place, but I'll empty my father's office and I will give you the space for the night. And I will give you a petrol lamp because there was no electricity. You have a baby. So we passed the night there, and the next morning we heard with my sister and me, we were walking in the streets of Kakopetria, and there were soldiers. And they were telling that in the area of Pirini and Mirtu, everything was occupied. So we started searching for our parents. And we heard that two buses came from our village and they stopped in Platania. We went with my husband and my sister looking for parents, nobody from our family. My father, my mother and my aunt, everybody missing. We started shouting, we started screaming. And I remember my brother telling me, now have courage, at least we, as young people, we are alive. If they are dead, what can we do? We waited for a few days and then from there we left and my brother said, let's go to Limassol. I have a family whose son was my, not colleague, they used to study in Greece together and they're going to give us some kind of room, a house just to stay. We went to Limassol and our life has changed from the day away from home, no parents. Every day used to give messages in the Red Cross and asking if they were alive or not. And one, a woman from our village who used to be there as well with my parents, because about 150 people stayed, heard my message. She had the radio open, so her house wasn't far from my mother's. She went to my mother's and said, you know, your daughter has sent a message. They are okay, they are in Limassol, and they are wondering what's happening with you. So, that's it. We stayed with that family for about 40 days. And then in October, when schools started, I had to come back to Nicosia, and my sister left before with my brother because they had to go back to their jobs. I had some extra holidays, but they didn't. So they came to Nicosia, and they used to stay in the Transanta College in the classrooms, just with carpets, and they used to stay there. So after, when I came down to Nicosia with a baby, we rent a house, and we used to live all together for 3 years. Then in 3 years' time, my parents, because they suffered a lot while they were there, the village was occupied by the army, we left in 1974, and I saw them with my young brother and my sister, I have another sister upstairs, in 1975, somebody told us that our father was very sick. So one day I decided to go to Lidra Palace and ask permission. Everybody told me they won't let you. How are you going to go? So I went there with my young brother and my sister. And I asked the police there, where is the office for such things? They showed me. I said, I want to visit my village because I heard that my father is very sick. And they told me, who told you? I said, I heard it from other people. But at that time, the road was closed, the road that we used to go to our village. And I had to go from Kairinia and turn. So I told me, okay, we are going to give you permission to go. But arriving in Kairinia, we are going to go to the hospital and see if really your father, it's not true and you're lying, you're going to go back to Nicosia. You're not going to your village. So I was a bit, clever. So I told him, okay, maybe he stayed for a night and then he left it. But his name would be there. And that was it. We took a taxi, and on the way, there was somebody accompanying us. It was the taxman, but there was a Turkish Cypriot, a teacher who knew Greek very well. And he said, I'm going with you just for security. So on the way, every time we met a tank or some arms from the war, the driver used to say, you know, this tank belonged to the Greeks. Closed our mouth. The driver was a Turkish Cypriot as well. And you should tell us in Greek, you know, these arms, Tudata Opla and Tuskellines. So I told to my brother, I said, don't talk. At the end, when he repeated that for a few times, the teacher who was at home said, will you please stop? Let the people alone. Don't tell them such things. So I arrived in Kairinia, we went to the hospital, and I started speaking in English. The nurse understood that I was a Greek Cypriot, and she told me, you're a Maronite? I said, yes. Your father came, and he was very bad, but he went back home. So the driver said, okay, we'll go to your village. We went to our village, and when the people saw us arriving in 1975 in the village, they were all surprised, crying, shouting. There were about 100 people. And they used to shout, τα παιδιά του Ιωσήφ ήρθαν στον ασώματο.
Ιωσήφ's children came to the village and we stayed two nights with our parents. I tried to visit my house, but they didn't let me go in because it was already occupied by the army. They told me, okay, you can see around, but not in the house. So we stayed for two nights, and the third day, we took a taxi again and came back to Nicosia. In 1977, I think it was the 18th of October, my parents left because they couldn't go out in the fields to cultivate their fields. My father had a few sheep. The army used to take every day one of them and the next day another one. And this is for the army, they used to say. The army has to eat. And poor thing, at the end he left. And the day he was supposed to leave, he had some furniture from my house, which there was an officer who was kind. He told my father, why do you come to this house every day? He said, this is my daughter's house. I said, okay, I'll give you some furniture, take it in your house. So he gave this table, this buffet, that. They are from my wedding. And the day he was supposed to come, he had hired a lorry for his furniture and things, and another one for my furniture. And because they wanted to get money, the last minute they told my mother, you are not allowed to take that. That doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your daughter, so you have to leave it. So my mother was a clever woman. She understood that they needed money. So he called the policeman up and said, sir, I'll give you these, it was 5 or 50, I don't remember, pounds, because we delayed you. Oh, yes, of course, you can take everything you like. And they came to the Lidra Palace, and from there, the Red Cross went and helped them, brought their things in the house where we used to live. So at that time, I had to leave because my other brothers and sister were not married, so my parents lived with them, and I rent another house with my husband, Joseph, and my aunt, who used to live with me.
And did you ever go back to your
family? We did. We had permission from now and then, especially at the time when there were people there, because now there is only an old woman, just one woman, that's all. But from a certain time, maybe about 10 years now, they don't let us go around the village, just to the church, because they permit a priest every Sunday. He goes and says the mass from 9 to 11. So people who like can go, but arriving to the village, because it's a military area, you have to give your passport to the soldier who is there. He keeps them with the number of the car. You go to the church, which is not very far from the entry of the village. Just there, in the area of the church, we have no permission, because I asked many times permission to go to my house. They didn't know. So after 11 o'clock, and if we try to go on during the week, they don't let us. Just on Sunday.
For the mass.
For the mass, that's all. So now I think it's about a year I didn't go. The last time it was when my sister was there. Maybe not a year, but about 9 months. There are people going every Sunday just for the mass. No, that's why I decided not to go. Every time I go and I feel sick, and then come back sick. So I decided. Now, because my sister is here, we're going to try on Sunday, though I don't feel like. But I miss it. When they speak about houses, and I say my house, I don't mean this one. Oh, this one I don't care. It's that one. that I can. It was nice. The life there was nice because it wasn't far from Nicosia. It's the plain. How do you say plain? Straight. There is no mountain. We used to put about 20 minutes to come to our work and then go back. We had our land. We had our fields. A nice house. We had our car. But we didn't enjoy it. My husband had a lot of fields, and we could have advantage. But the 3 years from 74 to 77, while my parents were there, really we had a terrible time. They told the army, okay, you're allowed to go to Nicosia today. They used to make them pay the bus, arrive up to the Litra Palace on the other side, and we on this side, and they wouldn't let them come near us. They used to make us, you know, signs like that, we are here, but they couldn't come near us, neither we could go near them. At times, I remember, we used to stay from the morning till the afternoon there. I mean, how many meters? From here to the end of the road. And they used to stay in the middle, and they wouldn't let them speak to us. And I remember myself and my brothers crying the whole day. There was just a policeman whose daughter was my student at St. Joseph's. The first time he saw me there, what are you doing here? I said, my parents are on the other side. Where? Somatos, and I need to get my aunt away because I had to go to school, and she used to take care of Joseph. And where she was there, how could I go to school? So he promised to help me get my aunt from there. So he told me, you know, one day you tell your aunt to come, and I will be talking with her. Just tell her to come on the other side, and I'm going to keep the other policemen busy so that they won't see her. And that's what we do, without clothes, without anything. She came like that.
And she
stayed, yes, with us. And she used to take care of all of us. Oh, brother, sister,
children. Now you're talking about the Turkish Cypriot?
Yes. Yes, because I was his daughter's teacher in St. Joseph. And he was astonished, he was surprised. What are you doing here? What am I doing? I said, my house has been taken by the army. Because he came to my wedding and he knew my house.
So your relationship with the Turkish Cypriot before?
But my wedding, yes. I still have a student whose father is a judge. When she comes over here, we meet in St. Joseph's School. She went to my house before the army got into the house. Many of them knew my house because they came to my wedding. I still have her gift for the wedding. And when she came back, she called me. It was before they cut the lines. She told me, Madame Antoinette, I'm sorry to tell you, and she was crying, your house has been taken by the army. Everything is thrown away, and I'm very sorry of telling you that. She was the first one to say it with her father. I mean, at least we didn't lose people. But there are some people from our village who have been taken to Turkey, and one of them they burned him as well. I mean, he didn't die, but he still has the old life on his body.
Like torture, you mean?
Yeah, but torture, maybe with the candle, I don't know. How or with some kind of fuel or gas, I don't know how they did it. But everybody came back. I mean, our relations are still good. But it's with the government we have to do. It's not with people, because people, poor thing, they suffer like they suffer. So, 1963, I was, I think, in year six in St. Joseph's School, and we are about 100 boarders. Among us, there were many Turkish Cypriot girls, and a few days before Christmas, actually maybe three, I think, all of a sudden, early in the morning, we realized that the Turkish Cypriot girls were missing. Though our school was just near a bar where an incident took place. It was, I'm sorry for the word, a prostitute house, where some Turkish women used to come and meet men, and that's how it started. And we realized nothing, and early in the morning, we saw that the Turkish Cypriot girls were missing. We asked here and there, they told us there was some trouble between the Turks and the Greeks, so the Turkish parents came and took their girls away. After that, it was the holidays after that, but after the holidays, some of them came back. And they got permission, I think, to cross the green line every 3 months or every 1 month, I am not very sure, just to go home, because some of them came from Lefka. Lefka is further than Morfu. Others were from the Turkish sector from Nicosia. For them it was easier, but they were always accompanied by somebody. And later on, when things were a bit better, and I became a teacher, I used to teach these some of the Turkish girls, while the Greek girls were doing Greek, they were free. So the principal asked me if I was interested in giving them Greek lessons, just to be able to communicate. So I remember starting with them. We became very close friends. There were about 20. And at the end of the year, I learned more Turkish than what they did with the Greek, because they used to speak all the time Turkish between them. So by hearing them, I learned more Turkish than what they did with Greek. But no problem in the boarding house, never. One of them, I remember my sister, on Sundays, we used to go to church, and we had a special uniform for Sundays only. And I remember once, my sister didn't have black shoes to go to church, and this Turkish girl told her, Marulla, να σου δώσω τα πατατικά μου, είναι καινούρια. Her father was a doctor, and they were rich. And I remember Marulla telling her, no, I'm not going to accept them, and that's not... No, I give them to you with all my heart, because we're my best friends. When I was a student again, Kuchuk's daughter was my classmate. Kuchuk was the first vice president after Makarios, and he came to school. His house was, you know what's the Catholic Church? Puffer's Gate, they built a wall. That wall was Victoria Street called. So a few steps from the church, it was Kuchuk's house. And he came once, it was his daughter's birthday, to accompany all her classmates to the party. And I remember we went with them, and you know, we were from villages. We didn't have nice houses like they had. And I remember when he got permission and he accompanied us, opening the door and getting, we stayed like that. Admiring the house. We had a fun, we had a nice time. And then he took us back again to school. I mean, there were good memories and good things at that time. But things have changed. And you know, when you suffer from these things, you think that your feelings change, but in reality, no. I mean, I don't hate these people, because they are not to blame. They are human beings like us, but their government is...